Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
I hear from so many people that are going through a loss. Perhaps you've lost your husband or wife, a child, the empty nest syndrome. I hear from all kinds of people that are grieving and hurting. I want to help you to be able to cope with any loss that you have. And I preach this right outside of Houston, Texas. Let's go to the live preaching. This morning I want to talk about coping with loss. And the reason why I want to talk about the losses in life is because I get emails from people, I get letters from people, and they tell me about how much they've lost in their life. People have lost their husbands or their wives or their children. People have lost jobs. People have lost money, you know, in the financial downturn and the economic downturn. And there's been, as we go through life, we lose things, and especially as we grow older. Speaking of growing older and losing things, I heard a story about this elderly couple. They were married for about 50 years, and they're sitting there on the couch watching TV, and all of a sudden the wife started to get romantic. And she leaned over to her husband. She said, "Honey, remember how you used to hold my hand?" So he leaned over and held her hand. She said, "Honey, remember how you used to give me those tender little kisses?" So he leaned over and gave her a tender little kiss. Then she got a little bolder, and she said, "Honey, remember how you used to nibble at my earlobes?" And with that, the old-timer got off, and he shuffled off. She said, "Wait, come back. Where are you going?" He goes, "I'm going to get my teeth." So, you know, as you get older, sometimes you lose your teeth, you lose your sight, you lose your hearing, and it's something that everybody has to go through. Some people are losing their mind. You know, it's not funny because they have Alzheimer's. And as I said, you know, I get emails from people and I get letters from people and they talk about how they've lost their job. I think that's the number one thing. You know, "Father, pray for me. I need a job." And some of you watching by TV, you've lost your job. Well, I do pray for you. You can email me and I'll pray for you by name. And we certainly lose our youth. We lose our health. One of our priests right now is 60 years old, director of one of our retreat centers. Just 2 months ago, he found out he has cancer. He's lost his health. He's undergoing chemotherapy, radiation. It's a terrible thing. He has brain cancer. People lose their sleep. They lose their hair. You know, there's all kinds of different things that we can lose. And I want to talk about the meaning of this. And what I want to say is that, you know what, one of the great life lessons as we go through life is that it may seem like we have control, but the bottom line is none of us are in control. I think one of the reasons why as we grow older and we go through these things and we start to lose things, and we all do, and you can even lose things when you're younger, of course, is to teach us not to rely upon ourselves, but to rely upon God. Now, I preached about that this weekend, that trust is a must. And as you grow older, what happens is you start to get stripped of everything, including your health and eventually your life. And that's to teach us that, you know what, we can't be self-reliant. We're not our own person. We have to rely on the one who can raise us from death. For example, Paul the Apostle went through shipwrecks and stonings, and he was crushed, he said, in one of his letters. And he said, "This was to teach me not to rely upon myself, but upon God who raises the dead." So really, when you go through loss, it ought to teach you that you're not in control, that we need to rely upon God. We need to trust in Him. And I'll talk more about that as I go on. You've heard the saying that there's a silver lining in every cloud. And that simply means that, you know what, even in the dark days, there's something good in there. Well, I'd like to say that, you know what, no matter what you've lost, there's a way to find good in everything. I'm a very positive person, and I'll talk to you about the power of positive thinking in one of my talks. But I want to tell you that, you know what, no matter what you're going, even if you're grieving the loss of a spouse or you've lost one of your children or you're going through a tremendous time, you know, with this economic downturn, I believe that you can find something good if you look hard enough. There's a silver lining in every cloud. And you got to focus on the positive, not the negative. You know, you can be negative if you want to be, but it's not going to help you any. But if you're positive, it's amazing what it can do for the whole situation. And God can work through positive situations. Think about my dad. You know, my dad died 9 years ago. I had never had anybody close to me die. My dad was my best friend and my biggest supporter. So we didn't have any warning. Right in the middle of the night, he died in his sleep. We're not quite sure what happened, whether it was a heart attack or a stroke. And I mean, that morning, my mom and I were devastated. Here's my dad. You know, one minute we had him, the next minute, he's gone. And I mean, I hardly ever cry. But I sobbed and I wept as I lost my dad. Well, it was really hard. I was thrown into the grieving process. And if you've lost anybody, and many of you have, you know, some of you are widows, and some of you have even lost children, it is the hardest thing to go through, the loss of somebody that you love. Well, it took a while, and, you know, I grieved well. And now as I look back on it, I see people that are in nursing homes, that are in hospitals, that have suffered strokes, that are going through all kinds of hard things. And you know what? I may have lost my dad, but you know what the positive thing is? He didn't suffer. And I mean, he's in a better place. He went right to God. And that so comforts me. You know, maybe you've lost your health or losing your sight or losing your mobility or losing your hair or whatever it is. You know, we're not as young as we used to be. And part of life and maturing, you have to grapple with this and you have to cope with this. So we lose things, but there's always something positive. I want to talk about, as you go through loss, with any loss, there's a kaleidoscope of feelings. You know, I've done some studying about grieving, the grieving process. And oftentimes people will come up to my book table and they'll say, Father, do you have anything on grieving? I just lost somebody. I lost a son. I lost a daughter. I lost a husband. And I want to know how to grieve. And I have to tell you, you know, with grieving, whenever you lose anything, there's going to be a grief process. I play golf. You know, I'll be out there on a golf course and I'll hit my ball into the woods and I'll lose my ball. And I'll go through a grieving process. You know, the first thing is, you know, shock that I hit it into the woods, and then anger, you know, where's that darn ball? And then, you know, you finally come to acceptance. And there's a whole process, whether it be a golf ball or your son or daughter, there's a whole process of grieving. The first stage is shock, then you go through denial. Then, of course, there's bargaining with God. And then there's despondency or depression. Then there's anger. And then, hopefully, there comes acceptance. And there's a whole kaleidoscope of feelings. Whenever you lose something, whether it's a loved one or money or health, you go through a grieving process. And I want to tell you, allow yourself to feel. You know, oftentimes we're not taught to feel and to go through emotions. Well, the bottom line is, you know, we're feeling people and we do go through emotions. For example, do you know what the shortest verse in the Bible is? It's John 11. When Lazarus died, it says two words, Jesus wept. See, Jesus felt. He was human. He allowed himself to grieve. And there's a whole kaleidoscope of feelings when you go into the grieving process. Some people, like I said, express them. When my dad died, I sobbed. And I'm not a person who usually cries. But it was a healing moment for me because I had to let it out. And I remember when I had his funeral, I had a towel right there because I was afraid I'd lose it. Because I have much emotion. So allow yourself to grieve. Don't let anybody tell you what you should feel. You just feel what you feel. And some days are going to be better than others. Now, when you go through the grieving process, I always tell people, you know what? Grieve well. And what I mean by that is, feel what you feel, go through the stages, feel the anger, feel the loss, feel the emotion, the sadness, but move through those stages. Move through the bargaining, the anger, the despondency, the shock, and come to acceptance. And I'll talk about that in a minute. So when I say grieve well, you know, you go through the stages. And everybody goes through them differently. And one thing you got to understand really quickly, it's not a linear line. You know, you get the shock, then you get the anger, and then you get the despondency, then you get the acceptance. It's not, you know, a straight line. Oftentimes it's circular. You know, you're shocked. You come to acceptance. Then you're angry. And you come to acceptance. You know, you go back and forth. So grief is a very strange process. And there's a kaleidoscope of feelings. And you've got to let yourself grieve well. And don't think that you're strange if you have all these feelings. Grieve well. And especially if you've lost a loved one, I pray for you. Grieve well. And then I want to tell you that time heals. You know, when you lose something, I've discovered that time heals. For example, I remember, you know, we had this cat. One of the things you can lose that I didn't tell you about is your pet. You know, those of you who have dogs and cats, you know, you love your animals. You love your pets. And when you lose them, it's like losing, you know, your spouse. It can be hard. Well, we had this cat. His name was Precious. I don't know if you've ever seen a Maine Coon, but they're very beautiful cats. They look like raccoons. You know, they have the stripes around the tail, and they even kind of walk like a raccoon with a hunchback. And we had him for 16 years as a part of the family. He was alive when Dad was around. And I called him the man of the family because now my mom lives alone down in Florida. She's 85. And, you know, I'd go visit my mom three or four times a year like I do, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter. And whenever I'd leave, I'd say, okay, Precious, you're the man of the house. You're in charge. Take care of Mom, you know. So in a way, you know, I really love Precious. He was a great cat. Well, about 5-6 months ago, Mom calls me, and she's crying. I go, Mom, what's wrong? Because she never cries. And she said, Precious is missing. I go, he'll come back. He always comes back. Well, he didn't come back. Apparently, you know, he was 16 years old, and I guess that's the life term for a cat, and he went into the woods, and he died, and you know, it was really hard. I was really hurt by that because I love that cat. And I put him in charge of the house. And I put him in charge of Mom. And I go, oh, great. Now my sister's down there. But, you know, day by day, that cat took care of Mom. And Mom loved him. Well, I was devastated right after Precious died. And I've had pets before and lost pets. But it was really hard. But you know what? Here it is about 5-6 months later. And it still hurts. But it doesn't hurt as much. You know, I've had time to grieve. I've had time to mourn. I've had time to go through the pain. And now, you know, as time heals is what I'm saying. And give yourself time. And in the time, I believe that God will touch you and help you to move on. And one of the major points I want to tell you, when it comes to grieving, whatever loss you have or whatever you've lost, you must, and this is the major part of the talk, I really want to look into the cameras, cling to God. Whatever you've lost something, cling to God. You know what cling wrap is? That's something that you put over your food. And you ever, you know, when you put it on, it really clings to the food and you put it in the refrigerator. That's what the Bible says. Cling to God. I mean, hold on to God. I talked to you about trust. You know, there's probably no greater time when you need to trust as when you're going through a loss in your life. Because you don't understand it. It doesn't seem to make sense. So what you have to do is you have to trust with all your heart that God is at work in your loss. The person par excellence that has lost something in the Bible, Job, you know, you've heard about Job. Here's this rich man. He's got this big family, all this livestock. There's a whole book in the Bible called Job. And he's got all this, and then it all gets taken away from him. You know, his family, his livestock, his money, he gets boils, and, you know, his health is all taken away. And you know what his friend said to him? Job, curse God and die. And that's the attitude a lot of people have, you know, when you lost. Oh, isn't that terrible? You know, you're really going through a hard time. You're probably never going to recover. You know, you listen to that and you won't. You'll just stay stuck. His friend said, curse God and die. Well, I love what Job retorted. Instead of curse God and die, you know what Job said? He said, I know my Redeemer lives. That is so good. That's right from the Bible. I know my Redeemer lives. And why that's good is because, you know what? God didn't cause the loss, by the way. A lot of people are angry. That's one of the stages of grief. And they're angry at God. Why did God do this to me? God doesn't do it to you. You know, it comes by being human. If anybody does it, it's Satan who tries to steal from you. God's the one who restores what the devil takes. And for example, you know, God's not the one who does it. What you got to do is not be angry at God. God's the one who can help you. You got to cling to God with all that you got. For example, I wanted to point out the cross here for a moment. A lot of people think that God sent Jesus to the cross. God did not send Jesus to the cross. Evil people, unjust people crucified Jesus. God it was who redeemed him. God it was who raised him from the dead. And it's the same in our life. I like to say that God writes straight with crooked lines. You know what that means? In the crooked lines in our life, the losses of our life, the sufferings of our life, the crooked lines, God writes straight. He brings redemption. He brings resurrection. He brings new life. So for example, if you're going through a depression and you cling to God, you know what will happen? God will bring new life. If you're going through unemployment and you cling to God, God will bring new strength to keep trying. If you're going through grief because you've lost somebody that you love and you cling to God, God will bring you through the stages to acceptance so that you can cope with it. So cling to God. That is so important. Trust in God. I know my Redeemer lives. And whatever you're going through, know that God is there with you. We're celebrating Eucharist right now. For those of you who are watching by TV, you're not going to be able to attend. But in a little while, you're going to be receiving the body and blood of Christ. It's interesting. In the Old Testament, Elijah the prophet, he was mourning. He was depressed. And he was sitting there just moping. And an angel appeared to him and said, "Elijah, eat." He was sitting under a broom tree, just all bent out of shape and thinking about how bad life was. The angel appears to him and says, "Elijah, eat, or else the journey's going to be too much for you." And I love that because it's the same with us. We're all on a journey. And you know what Eucharist is? It's a supernatural food to strengthen us to cope with the journey. And what the angel said to Elijah, he's saying to us this morning, eat, lest the journey be too much for you. And then really quickly, I wanted to tell you about acceptance. Acceptance is such a huge virtue that many people don't understand and they never come to. You have to understand that we are all on a journey, as I just said. It's a journey of maturity. It's a journey of growth. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to grow. I want to mature. I want to become the person that God has called me to be. And in order to do that, you can't just get hit with life and the losses of life and just sit there and say, that's it, it's over. You have to be resilient. And you have to face the losses in your life and not stay stuck. You have to keep moving. Now, I've had losses in my life with health, with relationships, with trials. But, you know, they hit you hard for a while. You cling to God and he raises you up and you keep moving. And you come to acceptance. And I found out that a lot of people in life, when it comes to life, you know, they stay stuck in anger or in despondency and depression, just moping all the time, negativity. And the bottom line is, you know, when God comes into your life, you can come to a new acceptance of your losses. And here's the truth. Maturity as a person demands that you accept the losses in your life and you go forward, that you don't stay stuck. You have to realize that every person on earth is going to lose something. Jesus lost Joseph as a young man. Then finally he lost his life. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane what he did? On his knees, sweating blood, he accepted his death. And we say that in the Eucharistic prayer, a death that he freely accepted. So it's not God torturing you or punishing you, it's life. But you got to accept it, and you move on. You've probably all heard the Serenity Prayer. So I think next to the Our Father, it's probably the prayer that's prayed the most. And it's by Reinhold Niebuhr. It's that famous Serenity Prayer. And it goes like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I'll tell you what, if you're a person of flexibility, a person of adaptability, a person of acceptance, your life is going to be so much more beautiful. You will have serenity instead of frustration. So I pray for acceptance for you. And if any of you are stuck in any of the grieving process or stuck in any negativity, I pray that you'll come to a new acceptance. And with acceptance, you can move forward. And that's where I want to end. Like I said, so many people are stuck. They're stuck in anger, They're stuck in shock. They're stuck in grieving. And as I said, with God, you can move and go forward through the stages and come to acceptance and keep pressing on. I think it was one of the hardest things for me right after my dad died to go forward. I didn't want to preach. I didn't want to do missions. I was in shock. I wasn't angry, but I was mourning, and it was very hard. But then I realized that, you know what, as I cling to God and he helped me to grieve, I got to keep going forward, and I got to go without my dad. My dad was my biggest supporter. He would have been out there at that tape table selling those books this morning, because that's the way my dad was. He so supported me. He so loved my ministry. He so wanted to help people that now I had to do it without him. And it was hard for me to do, but I realized that, you know what, I got to go on without my dad. And with God's help, I can do it, and I am doing it. And it's the same in your life. And I remember one of the things that one of our priests said to me that really helped me. He was a Hispanic priest. He came up to me, and I can barely understand him because he speaks only a little English. And he came up to me, and he said something to me about my dad. He said, I heard about your dad. And then he went like this, you know, man to man, right here, he says, your dad, right here. And you know what? He's so true. And what he said is so true. My dad is right here. He's in heaven with God, but he also lives in my heart. And in a mysterious way, we are connected by the communion of saints. And you have to understand, if you've lost a husband or a wife or a child, they're right here. And that can help you to move on and to keep going forward, because they're praying for you. They're in your heart. There's a mysterious spiritual union with the ones that you've lost. And I wanted to end with a movie that I was watching. I was watching the movie, maybe you've seen it, it's called Titanic. And if you remember in the movie, there was Leonardo DiCaprio was one of the, Kate Winslet, there were the two young lovers, okay, and they're on the ship, the Titanic. And as you all know, they're heading for an iceberg. Well, they fall in love, and they found the love of their life, and they loved each other, and it was a beautiful love story and everything. Well, Titanic hits, the ship hits, they're sinking, everybody's losing their lives, and they're floating on this piece of wood in this icy cold water, and he let her sit up on the wood, and he stayed in the water, and finally he froze to death. She had to let him go, and it was so hard to just let him go, and he sank down to the bottom. And it was a love story that was so beautiful. It was about letting go and going on. And Celine Dion sang the song that was such a hit. It was called My Heart Will Go On. And it was a number one hit on the radio stations for years, and I still hear it. And just really quickly, here are some of the words. Near, far, wherever you are, I believe that the heart does go on. Once more you open the door, and you're here in my heart, and my heart will go on and on and on. And I want you to know, whatever you've had, whatever person you've had to let go of, they're in your heart, and your heart can go on and on and on. And you must move forward. You can't stay stuck. There's a silver lining in every cloud. Focus on the positive. Realize, cling to God. Your Redeemer lives. He's with you. He'll help you to keep moving forward. You must mature and accept the losses in your life and go forward. And most of all, my prayer for you, whether you're watching by TV or you folks right here, that you'll move forward, that you'll go on, that you won't stay stuck. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thanks for listening. Let's stand and pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you are with us, and we can cling to you and hold on to you. You are our hope, and you redeem our situations. We ask you to bless all of us and help us to rely upon you in greater trust. For this we pray to the Lord. We want to pray for those who have died and gone before us, some of your spouses, some of your children, the losses that you've suffered, maybe financially, health-wise, whatever it is, that you'll move through the stages of grief, come to acceptance, and move on. For this we pray to the Lord. And certainly we want to pray for doctors, those who help people in hospitals, for those nurses and aides in nursing homes who are helping our elderly. For them, we pray to the Lord. Well, we give you thanks, O God, because you are our hope, our Redeemer, and you live. And so we cling to you now. And as we come to Eucharist, may we be strengthened for the journey. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Psalm 63 is a prayer that I pray from the Liturgy of the Hours, and it says, "My soul clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast." And I want you to know that whatever you're going through, whatever your loss is, wherever you're hurting or grieving, cling to God, just like cling wrap. Hold to him fast, and he'll help you to grieve. I don't want you to stay stuck. I want you to move forward. You can do it. You can go forward, but it's a decision that only you can make. Nobody can make you go forward. You have to do it yourself. And with God's grace, you can do it. I want you to live with passion, and moving forward is part of living with passion. Don't just live. Live with passion. This is Father Cedric Bezania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.